Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, Shasta County. It is Sunday, January 28th. We are live here, downtown Redding, KCNR 1460 AM, heart of District 1, my district. Joining me today is Supervisor Patrick Jones. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Now, what do I call you today?
Because you can call me Mr. Cry. You can call me whatever you'd like.
It's Kev Dog.
And then we have candidate Matt Plummer. Welcome, Matt.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
I wouldn't have it any other way. Just to give everybody a quick update, if you are following along online, I'm sorry that you have to look, because if you go to Vote Kevin Cry, this is being streamed live, and there are three people that definitely have faces for radio. So you won't be excited to see our faces, but if you do want to watch in live, there will be no wrestling. There will be shenanigans of any kind, but if you do want to watch, we are here. I want to say hi to all the listeners that are, of course, in Shasta County, but outside of Shasta County as well, as local politics is something that has made national news, but also it has a following because of, I believe, what's going on in the county. So with that, we're going to jump in. We will be taking a two-minute break at the 30-minute mark. And I've talked to Matt and Patrick both about basically our ground rules. And our ground rules are we're going to be asking some questions, giving you guys a chance to respond to one another just in a very cordial, thought-provoking way. So I will say, Matt, I met you first at the very, very first political event I ever attended, which was the school walkout. And in a lot of ways This is like a full circle thing for me because Patrick, actually, who I'd never met, he was in pretty much what he's wearing now. It was like a duck hunting vest and combat boots, and invited me to a Board of Supervisors meeting. So I went, but at that same meeting, I met you about school choice, and you brought a clipboard in, and it was my very first political clipboard of my life. I had it at my ninja gym.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that initiative of school choice that you were working on.
Yeah, so I had been working on a campaign the previous year with someone who's running for governor against Gavin Newsom, and I kept hearing about school choice and that there was an effort around the state to try to change how funding was controlled at the state level so that funding would actually follow the student. So if a student chose to go to a private school or chose to engage in, you know, homeschooling, they could receive money through an educational savings account that then would pay for their tuition. And I thought, you know, if we're going to change education, if you look at California, we're 38th in math, we're 33rd in reading. So we're, you know, in a bad place. If we're going to change that, we need some competition there where people can get themselves out of schools that are not performing well. And so funding is the key to that. And so I decided to volunteer with them, became the volunteer Shasta County chair for that ballot initiative to try to get signatures to get it on the ballot. And so that's
great.
Yeah, where we were.
That's great. So, yeah, that was my first introduction. And Patrick, you've been in politics a while locally. Catch the listeners up really quick in a couple minutes of your background in politics and things that you have been involved with in Shasta County.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. My voice is a little sore this morning, but I'm feeling good, so that's good.
Okay.
You know, I didn't like what I was seeing at the Redding City Council back in the year 2000, and so I decided to run in 2002, threw my name in the hat, and I didn't win in 2002, but I went to every meeting from 2002 to 2006. Eventually, I lost in 2004, won a seat in 2006, and then went on to serve for 8 years. I went to 12 years worth of meetings. I never missed a meeting. I got there at the beginning and stayed all the way through. I read every staff report that I could, of course, had a lot of committee and assignments when I was elected. I was mayor in 2010. And that was a proud moment for me because it's not always that you're going to be mayor or chair. of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. And so I wasn't in those years on Redding City Council, I wasn't in a majority position most of the time. So obviously my vision, what was good for the city, didn't necessarily always get carried out. We had a few small victories, but for the most part, I was in a bad position. And that's what I was so proud of when I became a Shasta County Board of Supervisor. And then starting in 2023, I became chair, and that's when you and Supervisor Kelstrom were elected. And that was the first time,
30 seconds,
really, in my career that I sat in a position where we had a good, strong, solid conservative majority where we could get a lot of things done. I'm very proud of that.
Oh, great. Okay, so that's going to jump into our first question. So, and Matt, I'll give this one to you. Why are you running for Shasta County Supervisor District 4? And I'm setting you up here. I've got 1 minute. There you go.
Yeah, I'm running for the same reason I have made through, you know, a number of career decisions over the course of, you know, since leaving college. My first job out of school was working for a company like Amazon, industrial supply distributor. And as I would walk, it was the height of the Great Recession. I was in the Midwest, and I would walk to my apartment and see these empty machine shops, these empty tool and die shops. And I thought, you know, what's going to happen to the people who have built those businesses for 20 or 30 years? What's going to happen to this community? And so I shifted to join a nonprofit because I wanted to be part of addressing those challenges. I moved here, was working remotely, and saw that there weren't a lot of jobs that could become careers. And so I said, what if I start a company and try to employ people and build a career path for people? And so a few years ago, saw that government was having an outsized influence. I was looking at the state level initially and seeing
I'm going to give you 2 minutes. That was way too short. You take, go ahead.
All right. I was seeing, okay, government's having a huge influence on our community and our ability to address the challenges. You know, I'd hear announcements from Sacramento saying, oh, we're going to spend $12 billion on this. Homelessness, for example, and then it would get worse. And so I said, okay, we need to, you know, I want to get involved there and see if I can impact the community, move it forward, because it's having such an influence. And so that's why I started working on campaigns. And then as I looked at the county, I saw, wow, Shasta County, you know, my family and our three girls have decided to, you know, we've decided to raise them here because we think that this is the best place in California. It's the freest place in California. But there's a lot of challenges. We have, you know, the highest growth in homelessness over the last 15 years. We have the highest suicide rate. And so I was like, I want to be part of moving the community forward, getting results for the community on those dimensions.
Great. And Patrick, why are you rerunning?
Yeah, so we've had, you know, this last year, again, in 2023, I think we've gotten more done. We've had more meetings. We've had more public input. And we've been able to turn this big ship that's Shasta County into a different direction, and I'm very proud of that. And I want to continue that good work. We've done a lot. We're going to do a lot this year. And, you know, and I want another 4 more years to continue that. This most likely will be my last run. And so for me, there's a sense of urgency to get things done. And with the correct board, which we have today, as long as I'm on there and other good people are elected, I think we can make Shasta County much better. We have a lot of programs, a lot of things that we have new leadership. We have a new CEO. We have a new deputy CEO. We have a new county council coming on. We have new health and human services director. We have new support services director. And a new, of course, health officer, and we're moving in the right direction, and that's a part of all of that, is a part of the work that I've done, that you've done, that Supervisor Kelstrom has done. I want to continue that momentum.
Got it. Any response? You good?
Good.
Good. Okay. So we're going to leave this as an open-ended discussion. You guys are both conservatives, both registered Republicans. Where do you feel... and I'll start with you, Patrick. Where do you feel, what is a conservative today? Let me ask it like that. What does conservative mean to you?
Well, you know, we hear all the time at the boardroom, I'm a conservative, I'm a conservative, I'm a conservative Republican. We hear that all the time. The problem is your votes and your ideas are what really matter. And I think I've demonstrated that. You take a look at, like, my 460 forms and see who's donated to me, and you see a certain type of person that donates to me because of my ideas, and then I followed up on those. I acted on those. I don't have to say I'm a conservative Republican. Everybody knows it because of my actions. My opponent, on the other hand, has taken money from people like Judy Salter. Now, that is about as far from a conservative. Why would a very liberal person and a liberal organization give to someone that they say is a conservative? I have questions about that. And if you take a look at what I've raised, I haven't used any PAC money. I've raised all my money from Shasta County. My opponent has taken money from outside of the county, outside of the state, as far away as New Jersey. But, of course, that is where he's from.
Okay. 2 minutes. Or again, it's open-ended, so if you need more time, take as much time as you want. Because I think this is something that people really want to discuss.
Yeah, so what is a conservative? I think a conservative is someone who prioritizes individual freedoms. And, you know, we talked about school choice. We've, you know, during the COVID mandates, that was something that I also pushed for. I got a petition signed to that was presented to our girls' school that was part of what influenced getting them back into in-person. Right before they were about to start, the school said, okay, we're going to all virtual. I said, that doesn't look right in terms of what the data shows, in terms of what outcomes we're going to get for students. So push for that. They changed the decision, got them in. So individual liberties is a key part of what meaning being conservative, small government. So I think the key, we need a limited government because we see that government doesn't often perform well because the incentive structure is wrong. And right now, if we look at what has happened in Shasta County, in 2019, we had a budget of $500 million. This last year, we approved a budget of $660 million. And so that's a growth of 33% in the budget over the last 5 years. And what results are we getting for it? So we're spending a lot more, and I don't see the results that we're getting for it. So limited government, and I think the key to limited government is that it's effective. And then I think the piece that's often missing when we talk about conservative is that is the competence. And that is actually solving problems in the community. And that's when we look at crime, when we look at homelessness, when we look at mental health addiction. All those problems have gotten worse over the last 15 years when my opponent has been in office. When it comes to donations, anybody can donate to anybody's campaign. I haven't gone out there and, you know, solicited campaigns or solicited donations from liberals, you know, people will donate to me. And the reason why they're donating to me and not to Patrick is because he has alienated a large portion of the population by not listening to them, not inviting them into the conversation and bringing them along for it.
Any response?
Sure, absolutely. You know, Judy Salter would never support me because I am a conservative and she is a far left leaning liberal. I mean, that's a fact. And so to say it any other way is not being, not being honest. And the fact of the matter is that over these last 15 years, take a look at what the state of California has done and the overreach. And this last year was the first year I was in a majority position. And look at the work that we've done. Everything good that we did, you criticize. And the things that we are working on are conservative issues in Shasta County, but yet you criticize every one of those. So I don't think you can stand here in good faith and say you're a true Republican. I think you're a rhino.
And that's the classic, label that we apply to people rather than talking about the issues. And also, I mean, when you say that we did great work, I mean, the jail was, a third of the jail was closed for over a year during the time that you were board chair. That is the most important issue that this community is facing is crime and public safety. And I know you like to blame that on the sheriff, but the reality is that it took the city council members of all three cities coming to the board meeting in order to urge the board to bring the sheriff in and get a plan. And so I think that was, you know, a major lack of responsibility. And also, it's not true that I've criticized the conservative actions of the board. I think my record in working on conservative campaigns and pushing for conservative issues is also stands for itself.
Okay. So we're going to move on. And staying with that same theme of conservative, like when I think about what are conservative issues, I think a lot of times of obviously limited government, pro-life, Second Amendment. I mean, those are some of our staples. So, Patrick, I'll start with you on this one. How do you feel about the Second Amendment, both parts? And keep that brief. I mean, you know.
Right. Well, this is a big part of my life, obviously. I've spent 45 years in a gun shop right here in Shasta County, right here in Redding. So, and I fought so many times against the state. We passed a Second Amendment resolution while I was chair. That was 3 years in the making. I was very proud of that. My opponent criticizes that. And so he's criticizing the Second Amendment. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's what he's criticizing. And then we just stood up to SB2, which was an overreach. And finally, we even got the sheriff to say this is unconstitutional. And I'm very glad that we, working with the CRPA, we found a loophole 172, Section B, subparagraph 4, that allowed us to take control of county buildings and allow the public and employees to carry. And I pushed that. That was my agenda item. I thank you, Kevin, for putting it on the agenda, and we got it passed, and I'm proud of that.
Matt, Second Amendment, yeah. Both parts, how do you feel?
Yeah, totally support the Second Amendment. I think it's critical to the functioning of our government and the freedom of our people. And just to correct the record, I did not criticize the Second Amendment resolution, so I'm not sure what my opponent is referring to. But also, I think, you know, sometimes in government what we see is that there's opportunism rather than principled government. And I think that we need to follow the Constitution when we are, you know, protecting and promoting the Second Amendment. And so what we see happening is sometimes we say, oh, well, we should be able to decide the constitutionality of a particular law. And the Constitution, I think, is pretty clear about who gets to decide that and the process for doing that. And so if we grab power as a Board of Supervisors to determine the constitutionality of something that we don't have the authority to, then we are actually violating the principles by which we say that we're operating. And that, in, you know, it might work in the short term. We might be able to protect our Second Amendment, but in the long run, we're actually undermining the very document that we say is the foundation of the government. And so I want to protect our freedoms, but I also want to abide by the Constitution and make sure that we're doing that right.
So do you agree with Sheriff Johnson's approach then about SB2 and how he wouldn't enforce it and it infringes on the Constitution?
I think that the sheriff has, you know, discretion to to say that whether or not he's going to enforce it. The state can, through the attorney general, you know, say, no, you can't do that. And at this point, the attorney general has not done that. And so I think that's up to the sheriff. But I think for the board to say that we're going to determine the constitutionality and then make an ordinance that goes against, you know, state law, I don't agree with that. I think that we have to go through the judicial process in order to fight that in courts if we believe it is truly unconstitutional, and we should do that. And I support CRPA going after that and the state that the pause on SB2 that they've been able to, you know, achieve. And I hope that they're successful in April when it goes back before the courts.
Okay, great. We start with, any response?
Well, so the fact of the matter is that we have to make a stand now. We live in a state that is a tyrannical state. And when they clearly step on the Constitution, we have to be that legislative body to protect the residents of Shasta County. The sheriff just did that. And I applaud him for doing that because he knew it was unconstitutional. I called him right away when I was going to introduce this resolution. He said he would support it, which he did. He made the right decision, and he's defying the state right now. And so he can't have it both ways. For me, I took an oath. I take that oath very seriously to defend the Constitution, both California and U.S. Constitution. And clearly when they're in violation of that, I'm not going to do it. And I hope the majority of the board would do the same.
Go ahead.
The only thing I would add is that we can't have a country, a county, where anyone can say that they get to determine the constitutionality of a law, because that will be complete chaos. If someone says, oh, well, that's unconstitutional, I mean, what authority do you have to determine that? If that authority
isn't... The sheriff just did it.
And I said that the sheriff is, you know, up to their discretion to do it. But what I'm saying is, as a general rule, we can't have a system of government where anyone is allowed to just say, oh, I think that law is unconstitutional and therefore I'm not going to follow it. We have to have certain processes for determining the constitutionality of a law, and that we need to go through those.
How far are you willing to go all the way up then, toes hanging off the cliff, to push for Shasta County? I mean, if that line is there, do you stay a long way from that line? I mean, or Patrick, do you go over the line? I mean, where, I'll start with you.
Yeah, so we have a number of freedoms at our disposal to push against what we feel is an overreach of the government. I was at the school walkout with you back in 2020 or 2021, because we have the right to gather and assemble, and I think that that was an effective way of pushing back on what we felt was government overreach. We also, you know, I was part of helping advance a candidate who was running in the recall of Governor Newsom, because I believed he was acting outside of his constitutional authority, and that was validated by court cases that were, you know, adjudicated during that time. And so we need to use the powers and the freedoms that we have at our disposal within the context of the Constitution to advance that.
Good. Okay, moving on. We're going to move on. Okay. You mentioned homelessness. State of California doesn't do us any favors. What new ideas would you bring as a supervisor to combat local homelessness?
So I've been working with and connected to an organization that is working with 100 communities or more around the country, and they have gotten to zero homelessness in 14 communities. And the number one thing that they do is they start by defining a goal of reducing homelessness and getting that to zero. And that's because what their experience was is they started a campaign before doing that of 100,000 homes, and they were saying, we're going to try to house 100,000 people in 18 months. And they were successful, but they realized that homelessness didn't actually go down in the communities where that was achieved. And so they reframed it to set the goal of getting to zero homelessness, and now they've been able to achieve it. And part of the way they do that is that they actually have a by-name list of everyone who's homeless that they update monthly, and they bring the organizations that are working together to review that list on a monthly basis. And that's what we're seeing be successful. I'd like us to go after veteran homelessness first. We have about 100 veterans who are homeless in Shasta County. That's a manageable number. If we got a list of those and we say every month we're tracking that and seeing, okay, are we getting down? Because right now at this point, especially since, you know, this year we didn't even do a point in time count, so we don't even know how it changed from last year to this year. We don't have an idea of whether what we're doing is actually reducing homelessness or it could just be serving the homeless.
Well, Kevin, as you know, California state law, we have to house all the homeless, so a huge expense to that. Homeless get more money in California than any other state, and we have almost half the homeless for the entire nation. So clearly the things that most of the 488 cities and 58 counties are doing have not worked well. Now, over the last 6 months, and I appreciate you being on the at-home committee with me, we've had at least 20 elected officials start going over and identifying and agreeing for the first time on some of the things that are within our control and we have the ability to change. One of those things is going to be a resource center. We're finally getting that done. That has been pushed several times before, and it never could get done. This time we've identified a location. We have identified the funds. We have agreed with the city of Reading, and we're moving forward on that. The mission is going to be an integral part of that. And every homeless person in town, when they're picked up, they're going to go to the resource center, and then from there, the rest of the resources. And the county has a lot of resources, and we help a lot of people. Now we can start, I believe, aggressively enforcing the camps and cleaning up the camps. It's not healthy for anyone to live outdoors, and the sooner we get them off the streets, the better. There is a cost to all this, and there is limitations and jurisdictions within the city of Reading that we don't have. So we're working together with the city, and I think all the elected officials this time saw a sense of urgency. We're seeing businesses leave this area and people leave this area because of it. And so we have made decisions, and we're moving forward on those decisions, and action is taken.
Great. In response?
Well, I'd say, you know, I'm supportive of the day center, and I'm glad that that's moving forward. You know, as Supervisor Jones stated, that is something that came up earlier when it was in the county's ball, you know, to be able to address that. You know, and it looks like it took the city of Reading getting involved, taking over the COC, and getting the funding required to do that. They were the recipient of the funding, correct?
I'm not debating. Like, yeah, I will say this. I just, because we're on the air, like, Tanessa Jones, myself, and I mean, I don't want to go into the different people, but there was a lot of politics and there were a lot of people trying to sabotage that, and it got through. So I'll leave it at that. But anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And I'm in favor of that. I'm glad that that happened. I am glad that the city of Reading, you know, stepped up to receive the funds. You know, obviously the county played some role in that, which is a good thing. The other thing that I think we need to see is that, you know, a large portion of the people who are homeless are struggling from mental illness. And the state has given out, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars over the last 4 years for facilities for psychiatric treatment, crisis stabilization units. And Shasta County has not received any of that funds. There was $450 million that went out in the last round. You know, it's been five rounds, and Shasta County has not been a recipient of that. I would have liked to see us pursue those funds over the last 4 years so that we could have facilities here that actually can house the people who are not going to be able to live on their own. I mean, we know that that's a portion of the population here.
Great. Okay. Christina, we have about 2 more minutes until a break. Is that correct? Okay. So we're going to do a quick question. And then we may have to come back to it. As we talk about local control, Charter County, are you, and I'll start with Supervisor Jones, for or against it, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes and no.
Okay.
So I am for the idea of not allowing the governor to appoint our replacement, but I do not think that having the board appoint the replacement is the best option. I think it should go to a special election that the people decide.
And that's one of the three on it, right? There's three options in that. The board can appoint and agree, and if they can't agree, then they could leave it vacant, or they can go to a special election. So that's solely what the charter is today. That's solely what the charter is, and that won't go into effect until 2025.
Right.
So yes or no, are you in favor of the charter?
So just to clarify, I don't think the board should have the authority to appoint the replacement. I think it should go directly to the people.
Okay, so again, as it's written on a ballot, will Matt Plummer be voting for the charter or not? And here's the three things. The first is the board, if they can come to a consensus, can appoint. They could
right.
They could leave it vacant,
yes.
Or they could call for a special election. So is Matt Plummer voting yes or no on the charter?
I would vote yes on it, but I would prefer if it was written in the way that I just described.
So hold. No. Well, no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't think he will vote yes. And the reality is here.
I mean, I just said I would.
Yeah, I don't believe you. And it's a yes or no question. It's pretty easy. And this is super simple. There's one thing on the charter, one thing only. Do you want the governor to appoint, or would you rather have the elected representatives in Shasta County do that? It's really simple.
Well, this board has made it a binary choice of having either the governor appoint it or the board appoint it. If they can't do it, then it goes to those other options. What I'm saying is that I don't think that the board should have that, and that they should have, when the charter was being drafted, that it should have been drafted such that the board doesn't appoint the replacement, but that it goes to the people. Because I wasn't part of that decision, I think it's better than having the governor do it, so I'd vote yes, even if Patrick doesn't believe me.
Correct.
But I... you know, think it should have been written differently.
I'll give you just really quick, just because, and then we're going to go to a break after this, since I was the author of it and brought it, was Glenn County as an example. They've got four. They've all agreed. They've sent six people to Sacramento. Sacramento says no to all of them because Newsom gets to a point and he wants a Democrat put forward, and they won't do that. So there's going to be a vote in March, and then there's only two people running, and if Newsom doesn't appoint in March, after that they're going to sue the governor because, honestly, only reason he's not appointing is because there's not a Democrat put forward. So I want to take that completely off the table and just say, hey, look, Shasta County, our electeds, four people that you've elected, get to select that. If not, goes to a special election, or they can just leave it vacant if there's an election coming up. With that, I'm sorry, go ahead, Matt. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, and here's – so, again, I'm all for that and taking the power out of the governor's hand. So 100% for that. Here's why I don't think that the board should have the authority to do it, because who's – the most likely scenario in which there's going to be a vacancy is a recall, right?
Or a death,
right. So in the case of a recall, for example, the person being recalled is likely to be in a board majority, because if they're not, then they likely aren't being recalled because they're not, you know, having much impact on the policy. And so that means that there's two or potentially three other supervisors who are part of that majority who have been supportive of the person being recalled. And now you're giving them the ability to appoint the replacement of a person that the people just said, we don't want that person. And I think that contradicts the very nature of the recall.
And so
that's why.
And we can agree, bottom line, the three of us could agree, because as the law is written today, which will terminate at the end of December 31st of 24, we hope, if the charter goes through, we all agree that the governor should not appoint.
Correct.
Okay, and that's the law today. With that, we're going to go to the break, and we'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Redding Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Tulum would like to thank the Redding Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Redding and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Redding Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
People of this country, and we're under attack. They banning us, they cancel us for speaking the facts. If you man enough, come stand with us, take USA back. And every time we pull up, all you're gonna see is American flag.
All right, we are back. 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, KCNR, the heart of District 1, downtown Reading. Thanks for joining us. I have Supervisor Patrick Jones and candidate Matt Plummer for District 4. We're going to pick right back up. We just spoke a little bit on the Charter County, which is going on to the ballot. Next, term limits. We'll start with you, Mr. Plummer. How do you feel about term limits?
I support term limits.
Support term limits. Supervisor Jones.
I voted for it, absolutely.
Okay, well, shoot. There we go. That was quick and easy. All right, so the next one I want to tackle a little bit here is, as we talk about the direction of local control and the county and kind of what we're doing right now, the jail is something that's been on everybody's mind. So we'll start. Whose turn is it?
I think I go.
Okay. Yeah. So give me your 2 minutes on funding the new jail and the priority that has been to you as a sitting supervisor and past chair.
Yeah, and so when I was vice chair, it became a top priority. When Chair Baugh was there, we made it a top priority. We knew it would take everything that we got to be able to finance a new jail. At that time, we didn't know exactly the price. Right now, we do believe to be at about $125 million, and that's not staffing. That's just the construction. I have been meeting with the sheriff, the command staff, Public Works, our CEO. We've had many meetings starting to discuss what that might look like, and I think we're all in agreement. And so I've been continuing to lead that effort. We haven't been terribly vocal about it because the delay within the Shasta County Court from moving across the street has taken an extra 6 to 8 months, if not longer. And so once the old courthouse, which will belong to Shasta County, is demolished, then we will start having more serious discussions about what it's going to look like, what kind of services, what it can perform, and working in conjunction with the original jail. So I'm excited about that. And then I'll also be introducing a new idea that's come out of the at-home process with people exiting jail, and a new program for that as well.
Great. Funding for the new jail, importance, any ideas that that you want to bring forward that maybe haven't been thought about? You got 2 minutes.
Yeah, I think adding to the capacity of the jail is critical, and that should be among our top priorities. I also want us to be sure to consider that is not going to alone solve our crime problem that we have in Shasta County. So on an average month, we arrest 700 to 800 people. And currently our jail has capacity to hold 450 or so. This would add potentially another 250, so that would be 700. So we're never going to have a jail big enough to hold all the people that we're arresting. And so I'd want this to be part of an overall change in our strategy around criminal justice. I think some of the things, you know, that our probation officer presented at the last board meeting, it was great to see progress happening there. But this needs to be situated in the context of both overall criminal justice reform. And one of the things, I took a tour of the jail and saw that, you know, if you look at what's happening during a person's time in jail, they're in a you know, cell about the size of this table with one other person who's committed criminal activity, and they're in there 20 hours a day. And the question I ask myself is, what is the likelihood that this person comes out of jail less likely to recommit crime after that experience? And so I want to make sure that our new jail is designed in a way that makes the time that they're there effective in reducing the likelihood that they recommit crime. The other thing I want to say is that I know the board is moving forward with the idea of building a addendum downtown, and I think that was based, my understanding is that that was based on the fact that there were estimates that a jail offsite would be $500 million, $600 million compared to 125. I would like the board to look into those cost estimates, because if you look at the four jails that have been built in California since 2019, the average cost per bed is $250,000, which at a capacity of 700 beds is only $225 million. Or if you go up to the 1,000 bed that was originally proposed, you know, you're talking about under $300 million. And so I'd like us to look into those, make sure that those numbers are right. The board has, you know, pushed back on the elections office when they put, you know, numbers of how things would cost. I'd like to see them do the same here. And then, so that would be, you know, a key piece of how I'd like to see us think about what is happening with the new jail. And then the other thing is that, the existing jail building is not going to last forever. And so that might have a lifespan of 5 to 10 years. I mean, maybe we'll be able to stretch it a little longer. We're spending $5 to $10 million a year, roughly, to rehabilitate it. And so when we consider the overall cost of whether we should build an addendum downtown or offsite, we need to consider the cost of tearing down that building and rebuilding a new one there as well.
To afford that, would you support a tax, put forth a tax for that?
No, I think so. At this point, and I'd like to get into more of the details, but the first thing I would look at is, if you look over the last 4 years, our total capital outlays is around $60 million. And so I would say, first, can we consider freezing all capital outlays except, you know, emergency ones, you know, allow some of the other government buildings to get a little older and save up that money. I mean, $60 million gets you almost half of what the existing building's being proposed. I'd also like to look at, you know, in discretionary revenue over the last about 8 years, we've increased discretionary revenue by $32 million. So that's additional revenue that we have complete discretion over how we use it. I'd like us to pull some of that and put some of that aside. We approved the budget. Well, the board approved the budget of 5% increase. So our budget keeps increasing, and we have increases in discretionary revenue. I'd like to see that go towards saving towards the jail. You know, in this last budget that was approved, you know, this past May, that the amount that actually goes toward the jail went down by about 20%. And so we're moving in the opposite direction on that.
So my opponent's numbers are wrong, and so we don't spend $5 to $6 million a year. That was an ADA lawsuit on a one-time deal, and actually the construction and the facility of the old jail is in pretty good shape, so it will last longer. We've already gone through the steps of trying to build a correctional facility off-site, and the numbers are correct. Construction costs have increased dramatically in the last couple of years. And so we have an excellent consultant that is working with us. There is no way the county can afford a $300, $400, or $500 million offsite facility. It's not going to happen. And every time we've gone down that path, it's just stalled for years and years, and it's not gotten done. We're pushing forward on something that we can do. It's going to take 275 criminals off the street. It'll be more modern with better programs and better efficiencies, and it's going to help Shasta County, and it's going to greatly help the city of Redding. So I'm excited about that. We're going to push forward. We're not going to have another committee. We're not going to waste another year. We're moving forward as a board with what we can do and live within our means.
And if we look at the numbers, and I mean, my opponent just said $300, $400, or $500 million, so he was even just validating the idea that it could be radically different from the $500 million. So
we can't afford any of it.
So we can't afford 125 right now, based on.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
How?
So we already have money saved up, and then this
budget.
We have
$26 million saved.
And a little bit more, and then with financing, we can afford that with the upcoming budget. And maybe you'll stay for the whole budget this time instead of just staying for a few hours and you'll learn more.
So bond financing, is that how you're planning to fund this? Because I believe.
We'll lay out the whole package very soon.
Okay, so you don't want to share.
Okay. Right. Okay, so, Patrick, I've been getting this a lot from both. So. And I want to keep this pretty short because there's going to be more of a rebuttal from you. And I got a question for each of you, and this has been something that in the chat, there's been a lot of it. So you are painted as a far-right extremist. Tell the listeners why that is not true, or confirm that it's true.
Right, right. I don't consider myself an extremist. I do consider myself a conservative Republican, and my votes represent that. I think a lot of times for the left, they like to try to label us as extremists, which they've done all over the country. They've done it to you, and they've done it to the majority of the board whenever they don't see eye to eye. Now, they've had their time in government for a long time. They've had decades and decades. And what I'm saying is this is a conservative county. Let the conservatives have a little time and let some new direction come and see the results at the end and then judge us. But they've called me everything, you know, in the book. But, you know, we're pretty thick-skinned, and we can take that. It's just not true. And in fact, every time they do those things, they lose credibility because we're moving forward. We have a vision. You know, I grew up in this county. I've lived here 55 years. This is where I'll die. We want to make it better. We're committed to making it better. We're not going anywhere. My opponent's been here 5 or 6 years. I think it's shameful to run for politics and tell Shasta County residents that he knows how to run this county when he's been in this county for just a very short time period. Let the real conservatives have their day.
Response.
So one, I think it's interesting that my opponent just throws out numbers that aren't right. I mean, I've been here almost 8 years, so the fact that he feels comfortable doing that is kind of jarring to me. You know, when it comes to labels, I think, you know, I have not labeled anyone, and nor will I, an extremist or far right or far left. I, you know, you can go back on the records and look that up. I think that, you know, this board and the community that supports it, it shouldn't be labeling the other side that way, because these labels actually drive us apart. And I think that there's the challenges that we're facing when I, you know, go knocking on doors, community to community, are the same things. That doesn't matter where you are on the political spectrum. They're seeing homelessness affect their everyday life, people stealing things off of their porch, right? These are issues that we can all agree on. Now, how we get there, sure, there's going to be differences there. There's going to be pushback. But if we label someone as opposite us and an enemy to us, then we immediately, you know, reduce the likelihood that we can work together to make progress.
I hate labels, and that's why I want to give both of you an opportunity. So, Matt, on the flip side, you've been labeled as a Bethel plant that's only here to push Bethel initiatives. Tell us why that's not true, or it is true.
Yeah, I mean, Bethel had nothing to do with my decision. In terms of Bethel leadership, had nothing to do with my decision to run. I decided to run based on my professional experience and my career path, which I told the story of earlier, and because I want to make the community better. I chose to live here with my family and raise my family here because I think it's an amazing place. I love hiking in the outdoors. I've summited Mount Shasta twice, Mount Whitney. This is an amazing place to live. And so I'm trying to move it forward because that's been the pattern of my career over the last 15 years since leaving school. And I, you know, if I get in there in 4 years and I don't feel like I can actually move the community forward, you know, and one of the things I want to see the county do is actually publish countywide goals and put it on their website and track the progress towards it so that people can hold the government accountable, not to pass policies or spend money in a certain way, but to actually improve the community. And that's my focus. And if I get in there and I can't do that, then I'll go back to running my business. I'll join a nonprofit, whatever it is. But my goal is to improve the community. And, you know, I think that people who have lived here for a long time, like Patrick, should be, you know, excited that other people want to come and live here and make this a better place.
Good.
Hey, well, I really like people coming here. I mean, we came here in 1969, and so a lot of us do come from another place. But we don't, after a short time period, jump into local government and say, we know how to fix problems. Take a look at the city of Reading. Take a look at what Bethel's done and look at the decisions that the three Bethel folks there on the council have done. We're not better for it. I think it's shameful. You can come here, and we encourage people to come here because it is a great place to live. I think it's the best place to live. But stay here for 20 years before you want to tell other people how to live.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
For one, I'm not telling anybody how to live, so I think that's, you know, a misrepresentation. And secondly, you and Supervisor Cry just applauded one of the city council members for her work in making the day resource center here as part of that, and that it wouldn't have happened without her. So let's also be clear about, you know, the work that is being done. And I'm not supportive of everything that the city council has done, and so I am going to, you know, I teach companies critical thinking for my job. That's what I do. And so I believe we look at the data, we analyze what has worked and hasn't worked before. We go through a robust process to make decisions, and I'm going to make decisions on the basis of that, not on the basis of any interest group that or coalition that wants me to act in a certain way.
Okay. So I start with you on that one. I'll start with Matt on this one. And again, this is just going – and this is what's a little hard for me to be in the middle is because I'm asking things about that are very relevant topics that are kind of hot button. Talking about affordability and looking at data. So the board just made a decision to eliminate or suspend impact fees in new development in the county, and that won't be terminated until the fund balance is spent, which that fund balance, roughly $3 million, will go to the jail, and the other two will be allocated in a little different way. County CEO Dave Rickett will be bringing that forward, if not this meeting, on the 6th. With that, where do you stand on looking at fees and the justification for them in Shasta County? And if you want to talk about the vote we just made, great. If you want to go a different direction, but open-ended question: how do you feel about looking at fees, justified or not, and the data that supports it?
Number one, I think it's good for the board, and I'm glad this board is looking at fees. And I think that we should reduce the cost to the people, particularly if we're not increasing the benefit that we're delivering to them. Number two, we have to look at what is the goal of reducing the fees. And, from what I've heard and generally what you hear in terms of impact fees is that the goal is to produce development. And so what I think, as we look at development, I said this early on in the campaign, if you look at building permits that are happening in Butte County, they had 5 times the number of building permits that Shasta County had last year. And so something's off, right? Something is, driving that difference. In fact, when I look at where we want development, I think we actually want most of the development happening in Shasta County to happen in its 3 cities. And so by reducing impact fees in the unincorporated area, while the cities, and now the cities could come along and do the same thing, but currently the cities have impact fees, it will actually disincentivize that and it will push development into the unincorporated areas rather than having it be in the cities. Because I think one of the things that makes Shasta County amazing is that you do have this diversity of living conditions. You have Redding, 90,000 people. You have Shasta Lake, 10,000. And then you have places like Lakehead and Mountain Gate, which are a few hundred. And I think we want to maintain those unincorporated areas as being less developed. And so I think in terms of the incentives that we're setting up, we're pushing development in the wrong direction instead of incentivizing it to happen in the cities.
Well, right there, he just said he wants to control what happens in Lakehead and Mountain Gate, and that's exactly my concern with someone that's been here for a very short time period. When I was on Redding City Council and we had the Great Recession, we did reduce impact fees, and we saw an immediate and positive reaction from it, and it was clear the fees were too high. And in fact, the Nexus study that was done during that time period in 2008, and it's a flawed study. And in fact, if your fees are too high, they could be considered to be an illegal tax, which is actually being heard at the state Supreme Court as we speak.
Federal.
Now, in addition to excess fees, take a look at excess regulations. And I'm hoping that's what this year is going to be all about, is looking at fees, reducing excess regulations, making people's lives better, and allowing them to grow wherever they see fit. If they want to grow a little bit in Lakehead, just like the gentleman I talked to yesterday that's having troubles, let him build. Let him build his dream in the community that he wants to, whether it's the city of Redding or the unincorporated areas. This year, I believe, is going to be a shining example of what less government can do for the people.
Response. Or not.
Yeah. Supervisor Jones has repeated this line that when he was on City of Reading, it led to a spike in building permits. And if you look at the building permit data, it just does not tell that story. There were more building permits in the 2 years, which was 2009 and 2010, than there were in 2011 through 14 when that voucher program was issued. And then afterwards, there were also more building permits. And, anybody can go and look at that data. And so the idea that this will necessarily produce a spike in building is just not proved out in the data. So that's number one. number two, I think, yes, we're not trying to control people's lives. What we're trying to do is incentivize development in the way that is best for this community. And I'm surprised, and even at the last board meeting.
Control. Call it what it is.
Well, I was surprised at the last board meeting that Supervisor Jones was pushing for growth in this community, because I think that we should be focused on making life better for the people who live here rather than trying to grow our county.
Well, quick rebut to that. So this is a small county, and we need growth. It's when you have growth, it really drives the entire economy. And if you've lived here for a long time and you saw those growth spurts, you would see how good it was for all the cities and the county. But again, lack of experience for my opponent shows that he's unclear. I lived through it. I watched 200 permits be pulled very quickly when nothing was happening. He can take a look at all the data he wants, but I lived it.
Yeah, I mean, anecdotal experience that doesn't match up with what actually happened doesn't prove anything. And the other thing is that at a time when we're trying to fund the jail, my opponent has refused to actually offer a plan for how he would fund the jail. He says he'll tell us later. Hopefully that's true. The reality is that when impact fees were suspended by the city of Reading, they had recession relief funding to backfill that, and so they weren't relying on sales and property tax to backfill that. Now, hopefully, you know, the board will move, if the board moves forward with impact fees, sales and property tax will backfill that. But the idea that that is a certainty. So what I would like to see is, one, I would have liked to see us take a little more time, do a little more research, and then secondly, set a time limit where we're going to do it for a year, review the data, and see if it proves out the assumptions that you all are making. Because that hasn't been a definitive reality in what we've seen so far.
Well, again, he's misspoken. The Nexus study that was done in 2008 shows that it was a flawed study. If you need more time to read it, I'm not sure how many years you need to read that. But it's excessive. And what it's done is it has slowed growth. The data is there. You're just not looking at it.
Okay. So we're going to move on because I want to give each of you guys an opportunity to close. One thing I will say, and I think both of you guys agree, that anything that comes across as an illegal tax needs to be looked at, correct? I mean, we can all agree,
yes,
that if the government is finding a way, you know, to illegally tax us, we have to combat that as conservatives. I mean, whether we want the money, need the money, etc., right is right. We agree?
Correct.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So give me a couple minutes, three things you want to get done, and also what you want voters to know about you. And then quickly give us your website and all the, and your contact information as well. So
okay.
I'm going to set the timer for, go ahead, 2.5 minutes, and you got to stick to that. Go ahead.
Sure. So my three priorities are reduce homelessness, cut crime, and fix our roads. Those basic things that we expect the government to do, but that if you look over the last 15 to 20 years, they've been getting increasingly worse. We haven't talked a lot about roads, but our roads rank 7th worst in the nation. We score an average of a 50 out of 100 in terms of the condition of our roads. And so people complain about that all the time as I walk around the community. So those are the three. You know, I want to see us set a goal, as I mentioned, around homelessness of actually reducing it and actually have good data to see, are we making progress on this or not? And have that, the organizations that are working on it meeting together. We need to enforce a ban on public camping once we have sufficient housing options. And in many communities and contexts, we do. And so we could be enforcing that. I'd like to see us take 6 to 9 months where we do a concerted effort countywide with Anderson PD, Reading PD, and the Sheriff's Office to do that. There's a Supreme Court case with Grants Pass, Oregon that is going forward that will have big implications. So we should be putting our support behind that as a county. Number two, around crime, we've talked about this. I do want to see us move forward with the jail, but I want us to do it smartly and consider the full cost and the full options there, and also look at ways to reduce recidivism, to figure out ways to divert more of those people who are being arrested but aren't going into jail into other programs so that there are consequences for low-level crimes. We know that the state of California has made that difficult for us with Proposition 47 and 57, but we need to reduce the incentives for committing criminal behavior. I have people tell me, you know, on a weekly basis of, yeah, why should I have to pay for things when I see people walking out of retail stores? And so we need to change that in this community and be creative about how we're doing that, whether that's looking at whether we can divert, people who have committed low-level offenses into programs like we used to have Crystal Creek or even the state's, Sugar Pine Fire Camp. So I want to see us get creative about increasing the consequences associated with that.
Website and contact information.
MattPlummer.com. That's Plummer with two M's. And you can reach me, Matt@MattPlummer.com, or 530-691-0434. And next,
love it, the cell phone. I love
it. Yeah, text me, call me. And on social media, Instagram and Facebook as well.
All right, thank you. 2 minutes.
Well, thank you, Kevin, and thank you for having us here this morning. I appreciate it. So obviously the number one priority from this board is going to be the construction and moving forward on the jail. And as soon as the court vacates and moves across the street on Court Street, that property will become Shasta County's property. And then as demolition occurs, we can start having a little more serious talk about what could be done on that site. And obviously a jail is very important to me. I've been leading that effort because I think it's important, and it hasn't been done in several decades, even though it needed to be done. We have to live within our means. Everybody would love, I would like, to build an off-site location, but we do not have the financing to do it, and so we're going to do what we can do, and that is build on property that we already own. It's cheaper to build downtown than any place else, and we have all the other services there. We have probation there. We have the brand new courthouse there, and the existing jail. And so,
give me your handles. I so gave Matt a little extra time.
That's my number one. There's other things, obviously, but Jones for Board of Supervisors, District4.com. You can find me at 1600 East Cypress, or just give me a call, 530-222-3223.
And I would really like to thank Supervisor Patrick Jones, candidate Matt Plummer. You guys both, this has been great. At the end of the day, whoever's going to be in